Chris Paul bringing it up the floor. Finds Devin Booker, who just checked in at the free throw line. Up fake. Now he'll put up the jumper. It rims around and drops. Count that, baby. And the foul is called on Sterling Brown. A chance at a three-point play to tie it up for Devin Booker.
We're working on it. You know, I feel like that's an area that we've emphasized the past few weeks. We've had some troubles in some games and still came out with wins, which is good, but we know we need to clean some things up. And with the experience and being in situations like this, you know, I think that's the only learning tool for us. So, you know, we're going to keep trying to get better. And that's on me and Chris, you know, to orchestrate down the stretch. And, you know, I think we can be really good.
Devin Booker, 36 points last night. Suns beat the Houston Rockets by three. It was a struggle. They fell behind in the fourth quarter. Devin Booker came back in with just over 7 minutes to go and then by himself went on a 10-0 run.
Yeah.
So for all the discussions that we and others had about Devin Booker being the closer, and it wasn't that way for a while. He had struggled in some fourth quarters, had a game where he didn't score in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. had a game where he scored a point in the fourth quarter, and the Suns were able to get by some of those situations. Last night, he put that team on his back in the fourth quarter and carried them to that win, and they needed him to.
Yeah, yes, that is all very, very true. So I think on one hand, I think a lot of people were worried that last night was going to happen the way it happened, even though the Rockets were so diminished, just because you've got a couple of huge games later this week, and because that's what these Phoenix Suns have been doing, man. And people have treated this issue like it's no issue at all with the rationalization. No, you're not going to play any bad teams in the playoffs. Yeah, okay, that's
what lukewarm always says.
Well, right, and but that's all. That's taken a really weird strand. That's a weird branch to sit on with a basketball team.
I will say that the sort of transition that they have made over the last couple weeks is that they're not losing these games anymore.
Yeah.
They're still giving up big leads. They're still way closer than they should be versus these bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
But they're at least finding a way to barely win them. That's like a little step over the first sort of half of the season.
Yeah. Okay. So what we've got now is we've got a month ahead of this basketball team, and 6 weeks basically, that are going to be very challenging. And I think the smart play would be to try to manage minutes among certain people, like Chris Paul, to assure your best odds at staying healthy.
And that's the negative about not blowing out these teams
early. Yes, yes. That's the clear negative, is that you've got guys who are not sitting entire fourth quarters.
Uh-huh.
But there's still a lot of season left, and there's still a lot of room for growth left with this basketball team. But I think that you've really got to manage a couple of different agendas here. The Suns are sitting in a really good place as the number two seed. There's a fear that the Lakers are going to fall, and we might have one really overweighted side of the playoff bracket, and, you know, Lord help you if you're on the wrong side.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stuff like this that we haven't had to worry about in a decade. And just wait until we get the first poorly officiated playoff game that costs the Phoenix. Just wait till that happens.
As opposed to all the poorly officiated regular season games?
Yes, because in the playoffs, it really matters. And you can't get those games back, and you can't make up. And it's so there's a lot of stuff that's going to be coming back our way that's not going to be all totally enjoyable. But I think, to me, the idea, this conceptual idea of Devin Booker ascending in this next month, 6 weeks of the season, to maybe even getting into MVP conversation, maybe just a mention, that to me interests me, because I think that would help him and it would help the basketball team. He's got to learn how to do this. He's been good in the past in moments. He needs to make those moments happen almost on a game-by-game basis, because that's what the great, 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 great players do.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Devin Booker is going to get there. So maybe the next 6 weeks it can be Devin Booker, I'm going to carry you guys for a while tapering Chris Paul's minutes a little bit.
Well,
and maybe you can do that without suffering a lot in the standings.
Remember a couple seasons ago, it was even before Monty Williams, it was Igor's year.
Mm-hmm.
There was a stretch where Devin Booker nearly had three 50-point games in a row at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he was chasing 60 against Utah. He just got to that point where he was doing it every single night. Now the team around him wasn't chipping in. And he's kind of on that level right now, not with the sheer numbers, but the last three games in 33 minutes, he's shooting 61% from the floor, 61% from three-point range, 92% from the free throw line, and is averaging 37 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists per game.
And no Jimmer Fredette this time.
Yeah, no Jimmer Fredette to slow him down. Yeah, we know Jimmer Fredette was the ultimate Devin Booker lockup. Like, he's the only guy that could stop him from scoring 60 during that stretch. Which brings me to this. I ran across this on ESPN.com today. NBA's best 25 under 25. Ranking young stars by future potential. Bobby Marks, Kevin Pelton, Mike Schmitz all ranked their top 25 players, and this is the kind of the consensus of all that. Devin Booker, 8th on this list. Right now, based on future potential. Now, does that mean he's already risen higher than these guys and is closer to his ceiling? I don't know. You could interpret it any number of ways, but the guys in front of him... Ben Simmons at 7, De'Aaron Fox at 6, Jason Tatum at 5, Donovan Mitchell at 4, LaMelo Ball was 3rd, number 2, Zion Williamson, number 1, Luka Doncic.
Huh. That's an odd list. I don't know what I'm...
Based on future potential.
Future potential.
If that's the case, then maybe that's why Booker's 8th. But then how do you... Do you think Luka Doncic is... going to get much better than he is right now?
I don't see how that's possible.
Unless he just turns out to be the greatest player that ever walked the earth. Zion Williamson's got room for potential. LaMelo Ball. I think Donovan Mitchell's pretty close to a finished product at this point.
Yeah, but Ben Simmons?
Ben Simmons, he seems like he is what he is also by now.
So I agree.
I don't look at Ben Simmons and go, that guy's going to, there's so much upside left in that guy. So I look at Devin Booker and think there is.
And also, either you're going to say that Booker is near his ceiling, and that's why you can't put him higher.
I'm just saying.
But then why would you put, like you said, why would you put Ben Simmons or Luka that high? And then if that's not how you're doing it, if you're just saying, who's going to be the biggest future star?
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox ahead of.
What is that all about?
Bobby Marks had Booker 5th. Ahead of De'Aaron Fox. Kevin Pelton had Booker 10th, below Simmons, Fox, and Jamal Murray. And Mike Schmitz had Booker 9th, behind Mitchell, Fox, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Come on.
That's an odd list.
There's two other Suns on the list, too. Mikal Bridges, number 17. DeAndre Ayton, number 20. I'll take that.
Okay. I think in terms of growth available for basketball teams, I think the Suns are right at the top of that list because of DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker. I think Devin Booker's got a lot of untapped potential. And I would guess he thinks so too. I mean, his goal is to be as good as Kobe. That is his stated goal. It's really going to be fascinating because this next stretch of games, Vinny, you've got to determine what your playoff rotation is going to kind of look like. And that's going to be a fascinating thing. I've seen coaches change up a lot on the fly. I have found that basketball teams function best when it's a tighter rotation in the playoffs. But the Suns also have guys you never know when you're going to get a really great performance from. So that's something that's going to be a tough decision for them.
Well, it's a great point because I think by and large, the bench play has been very strong for the Suns this year, but it's been different guys contributing from the bench. I mean, there was a time where Frank Kaminsky was in the bench rotation when he wasn't starting. It was great. Dario Saric seemed to have turned the corner around again and was playing great basketball. He was not good offensively last night. We've seen Javon Carter in and out of the rotation.
Abdul Nader was, and then he got hurt, and then Torrey Craig came in and kind of took all of Abdul Nader's minutes. Yeah. So what do they do when he comes back?
Yeah. That's the thing. I know the goal is for Monty Williams and for any head coach is to kind of carve out that rotation going into the playoffs and have the 8-9 guys that you want to rely on heavy in the postseason. While that might not be possible. you have to like the Suns having as many options as they do.
Yeah, I agree. There are fascinating decisions to make with this basketball team, because when you think about, and Tom Chambers was along the lines that that it's okay to pass the ball to Dario Saric and Jay Crowder in endgame situations and let them shoot, because they're really good shooters, and they've shown they can make really big shots. And I think I believe him. But the one game you have, if Jay Crowder bricks a three from the corner in a game-winning shot, you know what the reaction is.
Yeah.
Why isn't Chris Paul shooting that? Why isn't Book shooting that? Why'd he pass it?
Yeah.
We've seen that story countless times.
Well, that's what was weird about last night's game a little bit was DeAndre Ayton was a force offensively, especially in the second and third quarter. 27 points, tied a season high, didn't get a shot attempt in the fourth quarter. But are you going to argue, take the ball out of Devin Booker's red-hot hands and give it to DeAndre Ayton? So there was certainly some riding the hot hand last night, which makes sense. But there's been times where there hasn't been a hot hand in the fourth quarter, and there's still a reliance on those guys.
Prior to last night, my belief that it's always good to have a closer operating as such at the end of games, it gives order to a team. You can create a lot of chaos and unsettled stuff on a basketball team if you've got guys on the floor and they know they might get the ball and they don't know whether to shoot or not. It's a lot cleaner if you've just got a guy who goes, okay, clear out, it's my time.
Yeah.
But that guy's got to be able to do it.
But something we haven't seen, too, and we have these discussions, and I'm sorry to cut you off, Beck. The closer, there's an implied definition there that, okay, he's the closer, he's going to take the last shot. Not necessarily the case. Devin Booker and Chris Paul, both obviously very adept at making and creating opportunities for others. Mm-hmm. We just haven't seen that much in crunch time of games this year.
Yeah. It's going to become an issue, not an issue. It's a question that has to be answered, because you don't want to be making that stuff up on the fly in the playoffs.
No.
You when you get down to these endgame situations, you want clear direction and a clear idea of which way we're going to go. And last night was a game where I watched Devin Booker and I said, yeah, that's what I was looking for. A guy who did that. Just found a way to will shots into the basket at the end of games.
Mm-hmm. And even the shot that he missed after that 10-0 run, he got to, his sweet spot from about 13 feet, and it went in and out. And you're like, wow, he's just taking over right now.
Yeah.
He basically did.
Yep.
You said something earlier, too, that I want to close on here before we transition. Mm-hmm. After the absence, the postseason absence for the Suns, it's going to feel different for the people that care. And you said, well, not everything is going to be all that fun, all that soothing. I forget the word you used.
Yeah.
Relaxing.
Yeah.
Isn't that still a billion times better?
Oh, without a doubt.
Than when playoffs roll around, having to deal with the forced apathy of watching?
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And again, there seems to be a disconnect among some Suns fans about, can you be critical and enjoy it at the same time? To me, it just means you're 100% engaged. If you're tripping about some details, that's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean you're not enjoying it. And for anybody who thinks that Suns fans should just walk around with smiles on their faces and not talk about any of this stuff, I think you're wrong. That's not full engagement. That's just sheep. Is what that is. So I think in the case of the Suns, I think there's going to be some stuff that we get refamiliarized with, and it's going to be like, wow, haven't felt that in a while.
Yeah.
Wow. And a lot of it's going to be really, really good. I mean, you remember some of those great playoff games, they reverberated through the valley for days.
Uh-huh.
Days. They're like football games. I can't wait.
Yeah, you talk about it nonstop until the next game happens, and then you have another one. That's the great thing about the playoffs, too. You have to wait once a week.
We are officially past the two-thirds mark of the basketball season, so we're down to the final third. And then the chaos is going to begin.
Starting next Monday, we are giving you the chance every weekday to win $500. Text the word BONUS to 620-620 to register, and then listen for your name at 7:35 a.m., 1:35 p.m., or 3:35 p.m., for your chance at the Arizona Sports Signing Bonus. Once again, that's BONUS, B-O-N-U-S, to 620-620. All right, details came out on the restructuring of newly acquired center Rodney Hudson's contract with the Arizona Cardinals today. The person I saw put it out there was Ian Rappaport from NFL Network. And I described it in the splash today as creative. That's the way you got to do business now. Ian Rappaport had tweeted, when Hudson was traded from the Raiders to the Cardinals, he received an extension. A source said, it's complicated, but it's now a three-year, $30 million new contract, according to that source. He had $9.9 million on the books, but now this adds 2 years and $20.1 million with $16 million in guarantees. And the creative part, the further creative part was two voidable years for cap purposes. And we've seen that worked. You know, the Cardinals did a similar situation with Devondre Campbell last year. It was a longer term deal, but it was all voidable. So now he's basically a free agent that's still out there. In the long play of this, again, overthecap.com has the Cardinals with in excess of $13 million of cap space left at this point, with most of free agency done. And I say most because there's still a guy out there.
Yeah.
So it kind of begs the question, all right, what do you do? You're freeing up cap space. What else is out there?
Yeah. That tells me that there is another big move coming. Another signing coming, and I wonder if they already know who it is, or I wonder if it's money earmarked for Larry Fitzgerald.
I think not all of it would go there,
no.
Obviously.
Well, you need X amount of dollars for your rookies.
Sure.
And they only have, six draft picks this year? I don't know what it is. So some of it's the rookie pool money, but that's a big number. That's if you're freeing up money for now, that's way more than you need for your rookie pool. At least it used to be.
Absolutely. I mean, they are in like the top third of the league in cap space available, again, according to overthecap.com. The Jaguars are still sitting on $40.5 million of cap space right now.
Wow.
But there's just not that much money to spend to give the big contracts to these players. But the Larry Fitzgerald question at one point was affected by, well, they used all their cap space.
Yeah,
they have nothing left.
Yeah, now, there's nothing left. They can't afford it.
Yeah, you can get creative. You can create cap space. You can cut players.
I wonder if they did that because he gave them a heads up that, yes, he wants to come back. I don't believe that, but...
Well, if you gave him that heads up, then why isn't he just say, I'm coming back?
I don't know.
I had said on the day that they made the trade for Hudson that, you know, it's very feasible that they could rework that contract to free up some space.
Yeah.
Because we had seen that happen with a few other veterans that had been on the move. Now, I wasn't here yesterday, so I don't know how much it was discussed. But this is, it's been a very slow-moving roller coaster at this point. Have your feelings changed on the we had the Tampa Bay discussions, we had the retirement discussions last week, the television broadcasting discussion came up. Have your feelings on this changed at all?
No, they're back where they were from the very beginning, and that would be leaning towards retirement. Like I said, there's a reason why the Buccaneers are keeping Antonio Brown at arm's length. They're keeping a position open for Larry Fitzgerald, if clearly, in my opinion.
By the way, do you find the Antonio Brown campaigning online for the Bucs to sign him a little pathetic?
Yeah, that's a word for it.
Sign AB.
Yeah, because I really honestly think BA would realize, man, that would be a powerful force. Not only would BA love doing that for Fitz. But I think what I think BA would really love is bringing a guy in like Larry Fitzgerald who doesn't have a ring, and then everybody is galvanized to get him a ring. And so it creates an extra focus on a team that might have a Super Bowl hangover.
And also, on the Tampa thing, if they were going to bring back Antonio Brown, they would have brought back Antonio Brown. There's no team that was more aggressive once the offseason started at re-signing their own guys. And they've done it with every single person.
Everyone.
Except for Antonio Brown, which makes me think that's not going to happen. Or it will only happen, as you sort of have implied, if they can't get Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
First Super Bowl champion to return all 22 starters on offense and defense since 1977.
And some people would caution against that and say, don't do that because you're not going to have the same level of hunger. This is a Tom Brady team. And Tom Brady's hunger knows no boundaries. And so I don't think those rules are going to apply to Tampa. But I do think that they would rally around getting Fitz a ring. And I'm sure it would be something that they would love to do. It's a heck of a decision for Larry. If there is a decision being made, that's a tough one to sort through.
We were saying this yesterday, Vinny, but you know how for like once or twice or three times a week for about 2 months, Bickley would come in and be like, you know what, I got a feeling. Mm-hmm. I got a feeling today. Mm-hmm. That's sort of gone away.
It has.
He has no feeling anymore.
I think you rubbed off on
I joined
me.
You, yeah.
No feelings at all. No, but it sort of feels like now it's just going to be like, I think like right before training camp starts or something, he's going to announce it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at some point, if it drags to that, it's going to eliminate a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the broadcasting possibility is out there. We acknowledge this, correct?
Yes, we do.
The broadcast networks are not going to wait that long.
No.
I mean, he's got to get up to speed on doing his job, whatever that job may be.
Yeah. And what was the thing? It was on Pitt's notable alumni page.
Pat Narduzzi, the head coach of Pitt, said it was a tweet last week that had 12 former Pittsburgh players who are now broadcasters, and Larry Fitzgerald was one of the 12.
Wow.
Along with Yogi Ross, Louis Riddick, John Kajemi,
Don Marino.
Dan Marino is a commentator now?
Isn't he? No. He does broadcasting, doesn't he?
He did.
He doesn't do broadcasting.
I could have sworn
there was a time
when
he sold isotoner gloves. Carlin didn't do that anymore either.
Well, I didn't see the isotoner glove alumni graphic. I thought he was on that one, though.
No. He's been a special advisor with the Dolphins for 7 years now, Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly can't believe they would.
Do you watch the football much, do you?
I can't believe the Dolphins would hire him after he was involved in that kidnapping of the mascot. And
yeah, okay.
He was a pawn in all of
that.
That's
true.
Yeah. It wasn't his fault. Coming up next.
But this is the thing that's weird, too, is that Dan Marino is like Larry Fitzgerald. One team his entire career.
Yeah.
So you do that, then you end up as a special advisor. You get free money is basically for life.
Wait a minute. Are you speculating that Tampa Bay might be bringing in Dan Marino? I think he's younger than some of the players they brought back.
Might be.
He's about Tom Brady's age. Coming up next, it's Tuesday, a rousing edition of Mustache, Not a Mustache, Straight Ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the homepage at ArizonaSports.com. Do you think Torrey Lovello will be back as the manager of the D-backs in 2022?
Yay or nay?
I went on record earlier and I said, I hope he's back. I would like to see this taken care of.
Uh-huh.
But it appears that the Arizona Diamondbacks are monitoring things on how the season's going to go before they make a decision. I just don't think it's going to go that well.
I would agree with that.
So I'm going to say no. And, slow loading poll question today.
Very dramatic.
Yeah, I feel like we'll let you know after the break.
Stay tuned.
Apparently it's broken. The response has been so great. Yeah, it's just spinning. We'll just say
we'll give you results.
60% said no.
Okay.
But that's today's Sanderson Ford poll question. Hopefully we'll get that rectified. You can vote on it on the homepage at ArizonaSports.com.
Mustache. Not a mustache.
A mustache. Big mustache. Thick mustache. My mustache. Your mustache. Say the word mustache. A mustache. Now we both have said mustache. A mustache. If you only got a mustache.
That's your mom and she's got a mustache.
Before you start, Jarrett, yes. It actually did load. 63% said yes on Torrey Lovello.
Oh.
Only 37% said
okay.
No.
We're way off in that direction.
Right. So now...
Now it is time for America's fastest growing facial hair related quiz sensation, Mustache.
Not a mustache!
Oh, now you're getting good at it, guys. And what is going to happen is I'm going to play a clip from a show, a movie, an interview, or a song, and you have to tell me whether a person talking or singing has a mustache or does not have a mustache. And then you can get a bonus point if you identify the person. First one, the 10 wins, or if I run out of time, or if I run out of questions, or if there's a tie. So lots of caveats. But after last week's stunning upset victory by Dan Bickley, Dan, you will get your choice whether you want to go first or second here.
I'll go first. I'll take the ball.
Okay, you will go first, and we will start with music here. I was down this morning, and the sun was gone. Turned on some music to start my day, and lost myself in a song. I cut my eyes, and I flipped away.
That would be Brad Delp of Boston.
Ooh.
And that would be definitely a mustache.
A mustache like you read about.
Yeah.
That's how.
Yeah.
I can't believe I have never played a Boston clip before. This guy has such a bushy, delicious.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Delightful mustache. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You almost say delicious.
I almost. Delightful, I meant. All right. Starting off with 2 points there. All right, Vinny. You got this one?
Yeah, okay. I'll send an SOS to the world. I'll send an SOS. That is Sting, not a mustache.
That is
of the Police, right?
Correct. Yep. Yeah. Correct and correct. Yep. That was the Police. Absolutely. All right, Dan.
Yes.
2-2.
The two Utes.
To what? What was that word? To what?
What?
Did you say Utes? What is a Ute?
Which one are you looking
not
for?
Not Joe Pesci, the
oh,
the one that's the majority of the one there.
Oh,
I can
okay.
Play it again. If
no,
you
no,
want.
No, no, no. Fred Gwynne, not a mustache.
That is correct.
Well done.
Absolutely. Yes, I should have been more specific. Sorry, in ones that have two voices in them.
Remember his name in the movie?
Herman Munster?
Judge Munster?
No, that's I don't. What was it?
Judge Trotta?
I love that movie.
It is a great movie.
Really good rewatchable.
Yes.
All right, Vinny? I was going to say it was Ralph Macchio's finest work other than Karate Kid, but I can't think of a third example.
Yeah, I'm Teddy Powers, and I'm very upset with how I'm acting right now. I just have a very hard time expressing my emotions, and I can't stop from yelling. So I'm very sorry. I don't mean to offend you, Wayne. I'm just very upset right now. So I'm going to go ahead and go. But I'm not going to stop yelling because then that'll mean I lost the fight. So please leave a key under the mat. I love y'all very much.
Back when that show was good. That is Danny McBride as Kenny Powers from Eastbound and Down, and definitely a mustache.
That is correct. Very strong start for everybody.
4-4.
4-4. 4-4. 4-4.
That show fell off the rails, by the way.
Oh, ugh. Did it? Oh.
I watched the first season only, but I heard... Yeah, the same thing fell off the rails. All right, here we go. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day.
Spread my wings and fly away. Wow. I'm not entirely certain. I'm going to guess R. Kelly.
That's correct. That is correct.
I'm going to guess mustache.
Yeah.
That was just...
Woo! That is, right. That is how you do it. That is how you play the game, baby! Vinny.
Yes, Jer.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody in the car, so come on, let's ride to the liquor store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna.
Just a monstrosity committed.
Hey, thank you.
Against the music.
So
industry.
Catchy though.
Yes.
That is Lou Bega.
Wow.
And one of the wispiest, thinnest mustaches you'll ever see.
That is, but it is a mustache, and you did get it. All right. Very good.
6-6.
6-6. Good game. All right, Dan.
Back and forth, these two titans go.
Dan, there are two.
Something's got to give.
There's two voices in this one. Two voices in this one, Dan, but you'll know which one to.
All right.
Hello, Dan and Luke. Which one of you is which?
This is Dan, and my guy to my left is Luke.
Hey, guys.
Luke, and the guy on the right?
That would be our mop top producer, Jared.
Does he have any idea what he's doing?
I was actually the guy that said hello to you at the pizza place probably about a month and a half ago. Do you remember my wife and I approached you so rudely when you were having lunch with your family?
Oh, yes, you were awful.
That is John Cleese and definitely a mustache.
Yes, you are correct.
He still has it.
He does.
He still has it, yes. Yeah. A white mustache these days. All right. Vinny.
Yes.
Tracy, you are going to die.
What? No!
When I tell you who I'm dating, Squeaky Fromm. She is difficult. Anywho, I have the results of your physical. Tracy, you are going to die.
What? No!
You have no reflexes, your blood tastes like root beer, and some of your bones appear to have vanished.
Bless you for playing that clip from the greatest television show of all time. That is Chris Parnell as Dr. Leo Spicheman, not a mustache.
That is correct. Okay.
What TV show is that?
30 Rock.
Okay.
All right, here to get to 10, Vinny? I mean, Dan?
Yeah. I know this band, and it's and as soon as I know what I want to guess is wrong. I know this band. This is not.
I think you. I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, don't say anything.
Yeah. This is a big one. This is the.
Yeah. I'm just going to say the Gin Blossoms, even though that's not it.
No.
So I don't know. No mustache.
That is correct. You get 1 point. You get to 9. It is a band that begins with a G. But it is the Goo
Goo
Dolls.
Dolls, yes. Of course.
All right, Vinny, for the win.
Oh, man.
All right.
Here is the goal. Back with the bass. Pajamas live in effect, and I don't waste time. On the mic with a dope rhyme. Jump to the rhythm, jump, jump to the rhythm, jump.
That is, I believe the guy's name is Freedom Williams.
I would have just taken the band. I didn't even
from CNC that Music is... Factory. And that is... Oh. No. Mustache?
No! No! A lip as smooth as the day is long, my friend. Wow. All right. So real quick here, we got to go to the tiebreaker.
All right.
And
I'll message you the answer, Jared.
Okay. And a mustache-related question. In the hit CBS show Blue Blood starring Tom Selleck, how many episodes have aired? Of the show Blue Bloods, starring Tom Selleck.
All right, my guess is in.
His guess is in. Dan?
How many episodes of this show have aired?
I know how many I've watched, and that's a fat zero.
Yes. How many have episodes have aired?
I'll say 7.
No. Vinny's guess was Blue Bloods. You've heard of Blue Bloods?
No, I obviously haven't, Jared.
You're not anyone's uncle then, because everyone's uncle loves that show. Vinny guessed 125. The answer is 228.
That many?
Yep.
Goodness gracious.
So, in a tiebreaker, but a very, very competitive
what
close game.
What a ridiculous
game.
Tiebreaker. That's how you play. That is. Whatever mustache. Happened to, like...
Not a mustache! A mustache. Coming up, we'll talk some football with Darren Gant next. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata.
Dan Bickley and Vince Murata.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata on this Tuesday, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. We talk some football now with one of our favorites on the show. We go way back with him. Darren Gant joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Darren, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing well. We got to start with the big question. We always focus on the Carolina football with you. Did the Panthers get over the top by the acquisition of Sam Darnold yesterday?
I mean, it could be worse. There are worse things that could happen to you in life than have Sam Darnold be your quarterback.
Sure.
Here's the thing. I mean, they're obviously in a transition phase. They're obviously going to do something to get Teddy Bridgewater up and out of there. And, you know, it's kind of a funny, it's an awkward, funny, not you know, funny for me, situation because, you know, a year ago, we all thought, okay, Teddy Bridgewater, 3 years, $60 million bucks, 20 a year, that's low-end average starter money. If the guy's out there playing with Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, yeah, it sounds pretty good. Sounds like something you could work with. Problem was, Christian McCaffrey only played three games, and right. All of a sudden Teddy Bridgewater doesn't look like as good an investment. Now what they're going to do is probably have to pay somebody some of the guaranteed money to take him off the books. You know, get whatever you get in trade. I think there should be interest in Teddy. I think he's a serviceable quarterback, he's a different sort of quarterback, but kind of along the lines of Darnold. But it just got so sideways into last year that they just kind of needed to do something. And they weren't going to go out and trade for Deshaun Watson right now. They tried to trade for Matt Stafford and didn't. You're sitting at eight where there's no guarantee the quarterback you like is going to be available. So you go out and make a move, and you get a guy with upside who, honestly, and again, I'm throwing David Tepper's money around pretty liberally here, but 2 years, $23 million for a guy who could be an okay starter doesn't seem like bad business.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, that's not a bad price tag if he can play and if they can develop him, and probably worth a shot. The Deshaun Watson thing is interesting to me because it really seemed like he was in the crosshairs. Does this kind of tell you that Deshaun Watson isn't getting out of this so easy, or what does this say about Deshaun Watson?
Well, I think it says that teams that are interested in Deshaun Watson, and listen, honestly, the Panthers are probably still on that list, can't do anything right now. I think those criminal charges tail into last week were a little bit of a game changer in terms of short-term business for Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. I mean, he still wants out of Houston. They, you know, who knows what they want from day to day. I quit trying to assume logic down in Houston with the way that front office is run lately, but you know, I do think it would be really hard. It would be really hard for any owner to stand up in front of his people and say, hey, never mind what you saw in the news. This is our guy. Now, listen, right. If he's cleared of all criminal charges, if all the civil stuff goes away, you know, then you're talking about, well, hey, here's a top five quarterback in the NFL, and he's available, and he's 25 years old. Those are the kind of guys you go after and try to get. But obviously, you know, all the stuff that has nothing to do with football makes this a more complicated deal right now.
Speaking with Darren Gant here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, you kind of talked about the optimism in Carolina about Sam Darnold. Part of that optimism has to do with the fact that he'll be working with Joe Brady as an offensive coordinator. The fact that Matt Rhule is really a fan of Sam Darnold going back to when he interviewed with the Jets job. But that being said, and you kind of touched on this, so maybe you answered this question, Darren, but Joe Brady being as highly thought of as he is, why could he not unlock Teddy Bridgewater in that offense? Was it mostly the McCaffrey factor?
I think it was mostly McCaffrey. Teddy had a little bit of a knee issue coming down the stretch that I think changed the way he played. He was this sounds weird to say. He was playing almost to protect himself sometimes, not really cutting loose, you know, maybe not 100% physically. I think, you know, nobody wants necessarily offer up an excuse or say it was because of injury, but he wasn't the same guy the last 6 weeks of the year. He was the first 10 weeks. And, you know, keep in mind, I mean, the guy went to Kansas City and put 30 points on the board against the Chiefs when McCaffrey was on the field. So it's not like Teddy Bridgewater's a dog, can't play. I mean, he just kind of got caught in a bad situation. And, you know, I think the owner and the coach speaking so, you know, openly and probably more than most would or should about the topic, kind of they had to do something at that point. And, you know, picking at eight, you're not going to be able to draft the number one guy you want to have. So in the absence of doing the big thing, they did a thing.
Yeah, well said. The Cardinals have done a lot of things, and they've brought in notably J.J. Watt and A.J. Green. What do you think of those two guys specifically and what the Cardinals have done in general?
You know, I think I'm going to join the trend one day, and I'm going to come retire to the desk. I'll just put my feet up at the pool with Summers, and we'll have a cocktail and call it an early afternoon. I like it. I mean, you know, in all seriousness, I do think there's something to be said before, when you've got a young team with a young coach and a young quarterback, having a guy like J.J. Watt around adds a little ballast to the team. It gives you a little gravity. It makes people, you know, consider you differently. You're not just young and up and coming. I think it's a sign. And when you go get guys of that caliber, I think it wakes everybody else in the locker room up to say, hey, we're serious now. We mean this. This is not just – and I know the Cards have had their share of guys who come to put their feet up in the desert with me and Summers by the side of the pool. But, you know, this isn't Emmitt Smith coming down the stretch. I mean, I think these are both guys who – you know, at least in J.J. Watt's case, when he's been well, he can play. I mean, with A.J., again, staying healthy has been a big part of it. I think once he was coming down the stretch in Cincinnati, you know, injuries made him think about his financial future, too. So, you know, I think there could be good moves if those two guys stay on the field. I mean, and that's no guarantee with guys their age.
Darren, we're talking to Darren Gant. He joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Wanted to get your thought. We were just having a discussion earlier in the show. Tampa Bay, Bruce Arians, you know, with a beer in his hand and in front of the Super Bowl crowd after they won the Super Bowl, said, hey, we're going to bring everybody back. And by God, they did it. They've brought every starter back.
Yeah.
What do you think of that strategy moving forward?
I think if you're Bruce, why not? Why would you want to reload? Why would you want to try to rebuild? I mean, you've got something that works. You've got a quarterback who, you know, it's funny. In doing pre-draft stories, Mac Jones came up, and everybody talks about Mac Jones, and it's kind of conditional, and they say, it doesn't look like much. And I was standing at the Senior Bowl when he pulled his shirt off for the weigh-in, and I looked at the person next to me, and I said, this is like Tom Brady's combine photo. Tom Brady's in better shape now than he was 20 years
yes.
ago. He's still a top five quarterback, and he's willing to play for less money. So that allows you to do all this other cool stuff and allows, you know, him to bring his sidekick, Rob Gronkowski, along for another ride. Why not? I mean, I think as long as, you know, as long as he's well, as long as it's working and everybody's having fun, then Bruce is probably perfectly happy to ride this as long as he can.
All right, finally, the San Francisco 49ers traded up to number 3, and a lot of people thought that's odd. If you're not quite certain who's going to be, that's a lot of draft capital for maybe a second tier of the draft quarterbacks. What do you think they have in mind, Darren?
Gosh, I would love to be able to. I would go straight to Vegas instead of hanging out by the poolside with you guys.
That's right, with Summers, right.
If I knew exactly what they were doing at quarterback. But, I mean, the one thing I will say is it shows conviction. It shows that whether it's Mac Jones, whether it's Justin Fields, whether it's Trey Lance, they feel really strongly about this guy. And I think that's something that not every NFL front office is able to pull off. You know, some people take half measures to do things, but this is a sign. It's going to be easy for the 49ers to say about whoever that guy ends up being, this is our guy. This guy right here is going to be our quarterback 2 years from now when we think we're still in a Super Bowl window. So it was a big cut. They, you know, took their swing. They got their number 3 spot, and whether it's Fields, whether it's Mac Jones, and again, we can talk about this guy or that guy for the next month. We got a lot of airtime to fill up, but I like the fact that they did something bold and they did it decisively to just drive their stake in the ground and say, this is who we are.
Mm-hmm. 90 degrees here in the valley today, Darren. Not that much different from where you're at, but 90 degrees. Just getting that out there for you.
Yeah, but just wait. In a couple months, we're going to have a damp heat here, and you guys are going to
be jealous of that. Thank you, Darren.
Darren, always appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
We'll see y'all.
Darren Gant joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit coulternissan.com. Already halfway through on this Tuesday, the Bickley Blast is straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.